All right, Wednesday night Krug show. We keep it rolling on a busy Wednesday. Always have time to stream with the great John Chapman. He's in the house. Let's go. Off and running on the Krug show, Wednesday night style. Combo stream, the Krug Show meets the 49er Rush podcast. Hope everybody's having a great one. Brought to you by Pig at a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera, I say. They're open 7 days a week. They're soon to open in Petaluma, but they're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out. And they do run out, so get there early. Get some brisket chili. Tell them Krug sent you. Always a great spot. We're also brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks. And we'll tell you about Prize Picks. We'll do a lineup later on tonight. They got a great offer. And we're brought to you by Novato Chevrolet. NovatoChevrolet.com on the web. Novato Chevrolet. I'm driving a Traverse right now. I love it. Courtesy of Novato Chevrolet. They are fantastic. But we will hit them in a bit, and we will talk about all of our sponsors later on. But first, we welcome in John. And of course, John has this going on his, got a new video pinned to the, did I not call it up right? Let me see.
No, you got it perfect.
Oh, I got it. So here we go. We're going to put this over here. We're going to start it up. This is the video. That's the brand new video on John's site. Check this out.
I pin until I really see the tape.
You got to see the tape to really see what it looks like.
But then I'll see it closer on film.
The things that we saw on tape, the things that we require.
Hopefully it looks the same on tape.
Get better from the tape.
But before, we're hoping to have some good film on those guys, and we'll get to that as soon as we get on the plane.
If the 49ers coaches and players have to watch the tape, what do you think you need to do? Well, guess what? We got the tape. The 49ersRush.com and our Patreon channel, patreon.com/49ersRushPodcast. We have every offensive, defensive, special teams play outlined in all 22 and end zone coaches tape to go through and show you play by play what this guy did wrong, what this guy did right, who was wrong, who was right, all those things. It's way better than just grades or anything you got. Trust me, once you sign up, you get it all. 7-day free trial right now. Plus, we have monthly Zoom hangouts. We place our monthly bets, weekly bets, season-long bets, all on there. If you want to be a better fan, you want to understand football better, guess what? The 49ersRush.com is the place to go.
There you go. There you go. And so check that out. Is there any more information, John? Where do they go if they want to join?
Yeah, the 49ersRush.com is the best place. If you're familiar with Patreon and you subscribe to other people's Patreon, patreon.com/49ersRush podcast. Go sign up. Trust me, you're going to get way too much. We have over 500 videos, which is daunting. But, man, you can just start with the preseason, this last game. Watch every single play. See who played well, who didn't play well, and learn a lot while you're there.
Well, we're going to hopefully learn a lot during this stream. This is a big week for the Niners, not because of preseason game number 3 and not because of Jed York's antics in Ohio. It's really a big week because this is where the roster gets finalized. And you got some battles tomorrow night: left guard, defensive end, linebacker, safety, wide receiver, backup offensive and defensive line. There's a lot of good competition, and we're going to discuss that tonight. But also on Sunday, there's going to be, and if every all 32 NFL teams are going to pair their rosters from 90 to 53. So almost 1,184 players are going to hit the street.
That hurts.
It really does. I was looking at a list today of players from around the league that they are projecting could get cut, and just some of the interesting names that I saw. Okay, these are the interesting names to me. Buffalo, Mecole Hardman. You know, Mecole Hardman, it seems like when he was in Kansas City, was a very difficult guy for the 49ers to defend, especially when all the Andy Reid gadget plays. And he's really a good gadget play type receiver. Roschon Johnson, the running back from Chicago.
Love Roschon.
Yeah, I do too, from Texas. I think I'd like to have Roschon Johnson. I like him maybe more than I like Sincere McCormick and Khalil Herbert. A couple defensive tackles: McKinley Jackson from A&M, Chris Jenkins, who played at Michigan, they're supposedly going to be cut loose. Wide receiver Cedric Tillman from Cleveland. Defensive end Sam Williams from Dallas. I think he makes a lot of sense for the 49ers. Tutu Atwell, always one of my favorite burners. He's with Miami's receiving core. They're saying he's going to be cut loose. J.J. McCarthy. Tyrone Tracy, who is, I think, a very good receiving running back. If you're one of those teams like the Niners that love to throw it to their backs, can you ever have enough backs that can catch it and get upfield? And Tyrone Tracy can do it. Steelers are going to cut Caleb Johnson, the former Iowa star. Broderick Jones, their tackle, is going to get cut. The two 49ers of note that they had on this list were Christian Kirk and Nate Hobbs, who both are nursing injuries. Christian Kirk's got a calf. So I don't know. I mean, who do you want to see? You know, I think the 49ers badly need an edge rusher, but there's also, you know, players that they may like or have earmarked that they wanted in the draft that they didn't get in the draft. And maybe those guys get cut loose and maybe those guys are superior to somebody that you have on your roster. Shanahan made the point the other day. He's like, hey, look, we're going to scour we have a whole pro personnel department. And Sunday, when the cuts come down, we're going to scour every team's waiver wire. And if we like a player more than the guy that we had that was in our camp or that we have on our roster, we're going to go for that player. And he made that perfectly clear. But you got, you know, guys, veterans on the street right now at defensive end, including Hassan Reddick, Kyle Van Noy, Leonard Floyd, Preston Smith. A lot of talk that Arizona's going to trade Josh Sweat. Should the Niners throw a Curtis Rourke or a Mac Jones to the Cardinals for a Josh Sweat? There's a lot of interesting, you know, permutations to what potentially this 53-man roster could look like and who could be available. And, you know, I'm looking for certain guys. Dylan Bell from Minnesota. I loved him in the draft from Georgia. I don't know if he's going to make the team. If he doesn't make the team, I'd want Dylan Bell. I think he's a really good gadget receiver who can do a lot of things. I think he's like a younger version of Debo. I love Willie Lampkin from the Eagles. If he gets cut by Philly, man, hell yes, I would sign that guy immediately. And I'd put him on the active roster. So there's a couple people I'm looking for around the NFL. But what do you think at the cutdown? Is there a player that you're looking for? Is there a guy that you're eyeballing on a different roster that, you know, that if he was there, you would say, hey, he is the guy they need to go after?
Yeah, I think there's three key positions of immediate need. Guard, safety, and edge, especially early until Mikal comes back and until Romello Hype figures out and is productive. There are a lot of assumptions that, you know, Romello Hype was going to be a guy that would be a key contributor in the pass rush early on. Through two preseason games, zero pressures, like it hasn't even got a pressure yet. So it's kind of rough because the 49ers were counting on that rookie impact. So, you know, I'm looking at guard, I'm looking at safety, and I'm looking at edge. And it's funny because, you know, Larry, you and I have been doing this together for a few years now. And man, when draft is going on, some of my favorite episodes with you, because you're so damn passionate about these late round undrafted free agent guys. And what happens is these names that we were so familiar with 2-3 years ago start to resurface because they haven't either hit expectations or they're just at a position of strength for an opposing team that may be a weakness for the 49ers. And so those names resurface. This is the exact process that the 49ers do. And you always hear them say after free agency, right? They'll do their post free agency press conference. And John Lynch will always say, you know, we were actually really high on player XYZ when they came out of the draft and we were mad we couldn't get them. It's the same thing for you and I. And we hear names like Willie Lampkin and Bell. And it's just like, hell yeah, let's get those guys because they may be available again. Now, I don't think that the approach that the 49ers will take is a valuable high price trade for one of those. I think they're going to be kind of scavengers because I think that the 49ers see, especially at edge, guard a little bit different, safety a little bit different, but definitely edge the very pricey position. I think they like their base long term, and the short term need, I don't think that they're going to overpay, and I don't think teams like to get rid of quality pass rushers. So you're kind of, it's a catch-22 I don't think 49ers fans are going to be very happy. And I don't think the 49ers coaching staff and personnel department is going to be extremely excited about the edge product that they put out there weeks one and week two. It's going to be kind of a cross your fingers. Can we get through with this for the first couple weeks till Mikal Williams comes back? Hopefully that helps some. Romello's development happens. That helps some. But yeah, the three positions I'm looking at: guard, safety, and of course, edge. You got to get some help there.
Let's talk edge for a second, because I think the Niners, you know, I've watched enough now to see what they got. And I think they need a veteran edge rusher. They were 32nd in sacks last year. They had 20. And that number is a pathetic number. It was six sacks fewer than the next worst team, which was the Jets. And that's a ton. They were far and away the biggest nightmare as far as rushing the passer last year. Now, fast forward to this year. Nick Bosa has not practiced in over 3 weeks. Mikal Williams, who has one career sack, by the way, a lot of talk that he's not going to be there week one. Romello Height has looked at times athletic, but he's a 238-pound situational rusher who can't play on the early downs. Then you got Sam O, and I love Sam O, and he had some really nice plays against the Chargers last week, 6.5 career sacks in 3 years. Then you got Keon White. He's also had some moments in the NFL, 7.5 career sacks in 3 years. And then they brought in four guys off the street: Viliami Fehoko, Victor Demakeji, Ogbo Aronkwo, and Quentin Bell. And I'm just looking at this secondary where you got 10 young DBs and they're all trying to build their confidence. And you want to see that confidence just go flush down the toilet. Just burn the edges with Demakeji and Bell and see how your DBs are playing a month later. They need something real. Do you believe in any of those guys? Fehoko, Demakeji, Okoronkwo, who has 17 career sacks, or Quentin Bell. Do you like any of those guys?
Yeah, I don't mind them, but there's not enough demarcation between those to say, like, they have to make the 53, and if you release them on the initial 53, if one or two of them get claimed, you could throw whichever two are left on the practice squad and elevate one in case of emergency early. So, like, again, you've got kind of more of the same, and these guys are learning the system and they can step in if they want. You know, Okoronkwo is probably the most consistent and impactful, but this is somebody who got off the street just a couple of weeks ago. It's not like there's a lot of people out there that are just like, oh, we've got to have Okoronkwo. We have to put him on our 53. I don't think so. So even though I wouldn't be upset if they got 10 to 15 snaps week one, which I think one of them will, I don't think that they're going to make the initial 53-man roster. And I could see the 49ers only rostering four defensive ends on the initial 53, then through some roster manipulation, definitely going to sign somebody to practice squad, elevate them week one. But I think that this is a position, because of the injuries and because Mikal Williams is going to stay on the PUP, might only be four. And if Nick Bosa is not there, you're going into week one Australia against the Rams with probably the worst defensive end group in the NFL out of all 32 teams if Bosa doesn't play. But I expect him to play. They said that they expect him to practice next week. We'll see it. I expect him to play week one. You know, just off the top of my head, I'd probably say 85% chance Bosa plays, even if it is on a pitch count. But he's got, you know, close to 2 weeks to get ready to go and all that stuff. So I think he'll be out there, even if it is just his pass rush. And if he is on a pitch count, Bosa's out there on pass rush downs only, which he's one of the better two-way defensive ends, run versus pass. But you need the pass rush from Bosa more than you need the run support. You could have Sam O and Keon White out there as your ends to start, you know, against the run game. That's fine. Get Bosa out there, even if he's only playing 25 plays. I think that'd be huge.
I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is, It's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
They got to find some defensive ends. I would say check out Cincinnati. I was looking at their depth chart. This is what they have. They have Miles Murphy, first round pick in 2023. They have Boye Mafe. They have Cassius Howell. They have Shamar Stewart. They have Cedric Johnson. He's a pretty decent player. They have Isaiah Foskey, who's right from here, De La Salle High School in Concord. They have Antoine Powell Ryland, who was a great edge rusher at Vontae.
Niners met with him, I think, six times before the draft.
So that's seven. That's seven NFL defensive ends. You know, I think, you know, I would definitely make some. I mean, I'm sure they will. They'll be scouring the waiver wires looking for guys cut, but they may also want to make a trade. So let's, you know, I mean, that's just one team. I'll have to look at the list and see exactly who's got what and how it all shakes out.
I do have to say, Aaron Wilson, the 49ers did pick up Jay Joyner. So Joyner. Official, according to Aaron Wilson. So that just came across the transaction wire literally like 3 minutes ago.
He's been on the Krug show.
There you go. So tell us about him.
Jod Joyner was on the Krug show. Him and Danny Strigow were the edge rusher duo for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And this guy's, you know, got tools. He's got speed. He's got size. He's got strength. He's fast. He's a little stiff, but he's got a good motor. And he's a really serious, hardworking kid. He's a really nice kid. So, I mean, I think he'll be, you know, he doesn't have elite bend or elite twitch, but he's got a great motor. He's well coached. He can play the run. He's a little twitchy. I mean, he's not like Brian Burns, but he's also not Viliami Fajoko. He's like got a little bit more than that. So, you know, I'll be eager to see him. And he'll be motivated. He was with the Raiders for a while, so I'm sure he'll be motivated. But yeah, this is an opportunity, a job interview for him to have a huge game. I kind of feel like whoever has the big game, you know, it's almost like a reality show. Thursday night's like a reality show. Quentin Bell, Ogbo Aronkwo, Victor Demakeji, Viliami Fajoko, now Ja Joyner. Of those five street free agents, whoever has the big performance in that game is going to make the team. Pretty confident in saying that.
Now, I do want to say, you know, just as you were talking, I love that. I pulled up my 2025 pre-draft write-up on Ja Joyner.
Okay.
And I remember liking him a lot. 6'4", 260. And, you know, the things I always start off my profile with, like what stands out, length, twitch and effort, crazy long arms. He's more of a productive pass rusher, like a disruptor instead of a finisher. He only had one sack and three quarterback. Like, he's not the guy that's going to get all the sacks, but is constantly playing on the correct end of the offensive line. And sadly, like, you know, I look at like the players that he reminded me of. It was guys like Keon White. It was guys like Sam Oh that are these kind of bull rush. They don't have that like crazy bend, these hyper athletic, long arm defensive ends that are three down defensive ends that just don't put up the high sack numbers. So, and the Niners do this at the end of every training camp where they rotate the back end of the roster so that guys know the scheme, and a break glass in case of emergency, an injury or two happens, you can pull these guys in off the street. I don't think Ja Joyner is going to make the 53, but it will be fun to see him get out there and get some playing time tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's, you know, make the best man win. You know, he's got some ability for sure. All right, let's go through some of the roster questions coming into tomorrow night. One of them, so Nick Wagner, who, great respect for Nick. I think he does a really good job. He's very thorough. ESPN.com. His notes columns at the end of practice will always have some note that had just eluded me. So, I mean, this guy is just, as far as I'm concerned, he's a good. True. He's good. Yeah. I mean, and he'll spend an extra hour sitting there typing this whole thing out on the word processor and then firing away, you know, a 19 paragraph tweet that totally summarizes the entire practice in every way imaginable. So he does an amazing job. He had his roster breakdown up on ESPN.com. And, you know, it's interesting on a lot of fronts. One, he only has the Niners going with two quarterbacks. So what do you think? I mean, he says that maybe they can do some roster juggling and get Rourke to the injured reserve without using an extra roster spot. But is Curtis Rourke going to go to the IR? Is he going to be cut? Is he going to make the final 53? Or is he going to be traded? I think there's probably a market for him if you want to trade him.
The one thing I would be fairly certain on, he's not getting cut. Shanahan does this every single year where there's this one or two players that get this IR designation for the entirety of the year. And like, it's bit him in the rear end. You remember with like DJ Reed, right? He was injured. He was going to miss about half the season. Shanahan tried to sneak him through the IR rules. Gets claimed by Seattle and he goes on and he's had an incredible career, made a lot of money for several teams, but like, yeah, that got him.
Could have used him.
Yeah. It did the same thing with, you know, Juwan Jennings, and it worked his rookie year. Did the same thing with Colton McKivitz, and it worked. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but Curtis Rourke might be one of those guys. And if Shanahan does do that, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. So, like, there's going to be a couple players that have injuries. So
when you say do that, you're saying subject him to waivers and cross your fingers.
So there's two routes you can go. You could put him on IR, then do the waiver process, or you could just put him on season-ending IR and guarantee his salary for the year, which I think is what they would do in this situation. And so you just put him on season-ending IR. And you just basically say, hey, it's the gray shirt year, right? He had the red shirt year last year. This would be his gray shirt year. He's still in meetings, but he can't practice. I don't think he's getting cut. I don't think he's getting waived. I don't see that. He's going to be either here or traded. I think now the way
he'll be claimed if he's waived.
Yes.
I believe
everybody loves Shanahan quarterbacks. Nick Mullins still out, like. Yeah,
Josh he played Johnson well, and he's got size, he's got stature, you know, he's a good kid. Purdy was a revelation. Those factors alone probably mean there's obviously a lack of top quarterbacks. I just think that he's, you know, if you're the Raiders and you didn't pick him up, I don't think that would be smart. I mean, supposedly the Raiders are going to cut Aiden O'Connell, but if you are and Rourke is sitting there and you have Mendoza and Kirk Cousins, why wouldn't you grab him?
His tape was too good. It was one preseason game, but it was his first game in over a year. He goes out there and just operates the Shanahan offense pretty damn well against starters, mind you. Some starters were still out there in that game. So, I think Curtis Rourke he's sticking around in the red and gold. And unless somebody wants to pay a pretty penny, which I don't see coming.
Did Johnny freeze on us? Or am I frozen on my end?
No, we're good. We're good.
You're back. You were frozen for just a second. The other big question is, I think, you know, Nick Wagner's got seven wide receivers on the 53. And he's got Evans, Stribling, Debo, DeMarcus Robinson, Watkins. That I agree with. But then he has Christian Kirk and Jacob Cowing. And I don't know. I mean, I Kirk, I could see being put on some kind of an injured list. I'd be interested in some of the other receivers that may be out there, but that's an interesting one. I don't think Kirk and I don't have Kirk and Cowing making it, even though
you have Cowing not making it.
Yeah, I don't. I have, what do I have here? Let me see. I'm going with six wide receivers, and my six wide receivers are Evans, Stribling, Debo, Robinson, Watkins. And to me, if it comes down to Christian, if Christian Kirk's healthy, I could see him getting the job. But if he's not healthy and he's on the injured list and it comes down to Cowing or special teamers or Cowing or Pauling, I don't know. I kind of think they're going to go with Pauling. Pauling is a little bit more dependable hands, a little bit tougher, a little stronger, a little bit more, not as dynamic as Cowing as a return guy, but definitely maybe a little bit more sure-handed. I think he can take a hit. He can block. I just think Pauling is probably, you know, he's not as dynamic as Cowing, but I could see them going with Pauling over Cowing. I could also see them saying, hey, Brant Boyer, who do you want? And him saying, give me Kadarius Hodge or give me Malik Turner, you know, give me Trent Irwin, give me a special team guy. Hodge was a Pro Bowl special teamer as a gunner a couple years ago. So do they go with five receivers and one receiver that's kind of more of a special team ace?
That I would say Cowing returning that punt. He ain't clearing waivers. That's the first punt return.
No, he won't.
Years.
He won't clear. Yeah,
I think Cowan's going to make it. And my biggest thing, like, I love Pauling, and I thought he was awesome in the practices I've been through. But when the lights came on in the preseason games, I think he made one person miss. Maybe not good punt returns, not good kick returns. He is tougher than, you know, Watkins, Cowing, those guys. Like, he's tough, but I just didn't see enough for somebody to say, man, we really want to claim this guy. He wasn't drafted. Cowing was a fourth round pick. So that carries some weight there. So which guy are you going to get back?
Would you rather have Cowing, or if you could pick him off waivers, would you rather have Tutu Atwell? I mean, Tutu Atwell. Cowing. Really? Atwell is a burner.
I know. And definitely more durable.
I don't like Cowing's. To me, Cowing is one hit away from a fumble. He's one hit away from being hurt. You know, yes, he's healthy right this second, but I don't see that continuing. If I could have Tutu Atwell, I would take him. I think I like Tutu Atwell. I think Tutu Atwell is a scarier cover for a corner than Jacob Cowing.
He had some of his best games against the 49ers, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, remember when he lit up Mooney Ward for that 50-yard grab?
Yeah.
So that one. The other thing that was kind of interesting is Wagner's got the Niners going with nine offensive linemen, and he has Brett Toth making the roster. I think Brett Toth is maybe the worst offensive lineman I've seen all summer. I mean, he just gets destroyed in one-on-ones. And you have Carver Willis, the future center. You have Drake Nugent, who's looked really good. You have this kid Kramer, who's was at Illinois for, you know, and he's been with the Bears. I think he looks pretty good. To me, you've got options at center. I would be shocked, totally shocked, if Brett Toth makes the roster. I can't see that happening.
He hasn't played a lot either in the preseason. So right. Like that's difficult. But like, you've got to have a center guard combo. I don't know if Drake Nugent could play guard snaps, even if you wanted him to. He has played very well at center, though. And so, like, there's a couple guys, like Brett Toth, like, hasn't played much. Robert Jones hasn't played much. When he's played, he's terrible as well. Austin Pleasance has played well, but now how bad is that injury? And that's going to factor into it because, yeah, he played some guard, didn't look good at guard, but he was there for 2 days. Like, give him a little bit of a break, but he has some versatility as well. I don't know, because they always, every time they talk about this position, the interior, you want the center guard combo, and they get just bonus points whenever it comes to these roster, you know, cutdowns. I like Drake Nugent too, but if you keep Drake Nugent, you have to keep two more guards. The numbers are just, they wanted to be Brett Toth, and you look at that contract, like they paid him to be there. And then Vidarian Lowe, is he going to be IR designated to return? That complicates things even further. The O-line is just a mess, Larry. Like, you've got your four. After that, like, it's a mess. I don't even have Robert Jones making the roster.
Okay, what do you think of this? This is a wild idea. Okay, wild idea. So
let's go.
Okay, wild idea. The Niners are thinking big, okay? And they need a left guard. and the team they always seem like they deal with is Indianapolis. And Indianapolis doesn't appear to be going anywhere. What do you think of trading a day two pick and some combination of Curtis Rourke, Alfred Collins, maybe a Renardo Green, maybe somebody else, maybe a receiver, maybe a Jacob Cowing? What do you think of a second round pick, Curtis Rourke, Jacob Cowing, and something else, Alfred Collins, CJ West, something like that, to the Colts for Quentin Nelson?
I knew where you were going. As soon as you said left guard, I was just like,
I mean, yeah. if the Rams, if the Rams went after Myles Garrett, why? They had a good player in Jared Verse. They wanted a difference maker. If the 49ers are going to match the Rams as far as a difference maker, I would love to see what the 49ers' chances would be if they could actually run the ball, pass protect for Purdy. I mean, we have not seen Brock Purdy behind that fortress. They got a great left tackle. They got a great right tackle. I think Don Pooney's a decent right guard. You know, Brendel, whatever. But you know what? The left guard is a black hole. And the other day I was at practice, and Carver Willis got beat like a drum on back-to-back. C.J. West beat him. Bryson Eason beat him. And they beat this guy badly. And I'm thinking to myself, God, if he loses this bad in a game, Brock Purdy could be out for the year. And what do you think of loading up a big trade with the Colts and give them some good assets, but get Quentin Nelson back?
I would love it. Yeah, I'm an Alfred Collins guy. I'm projecting what he can become. Dude, I would give up.
What's a fair Alfred trade Collins for Quentin Nelson?
And a fourth. For Quentin Nelson, it's the last year of his deal. You take on 18. I just pulled his contract up as you were talking. You take on $18 million this year. It's expiring contract. Alfred Collins in a fourth. I would do that. Now, would the Colts do that? He's beloved in that city. I've been to a game in Indianapolis, and there are Quentin Nelson jerseys
with Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, he's their guy. So why would they do that? They have the worst general manager, I think, in the NFL, in my opinion. I like Ballard as a nice guy, but I think he's horrible. He's been here as long as John Lynch and Shanahan. No playoff wins, no division titles. Not a good general.
In fairness, he had Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck retired.
Yeah, but come on, you know, man.
I think Chris Ballard's actually a decent GM. I just think that he's had some terrible breaks.
Sauce Gardner at this point in his career with that contract.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty desperate. But I mean, look at the trade he made for Buckner. That was a win for them.
It was.
And, you know, I mean, I didn't know Andrew Luck was going to retire. And then he went for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, I think, was one of the great stories of the NFL last year until he got hurt. So yeah. I don't know. I'm more of a Ballard guy than you. I think Ballard's really pretty sharp, but yeah, I just think that their time is not now, you know, it's not now. It's coming, but it's not now. And could you load up with some big, you know, offer and get a difference maker interior piece like Quentin Nelson? Cause he would cost,
but I'd do it. Yeah, definitely.
It would be a massive move, but it would be an incredible move. Okay, gosh. What about defensive line? To me, one of the stories that we don't talk much about, John, is that Bryson Eason, James Thompson Jr., and Grayson Halton have looked better than Alfred Collins and C.J. West. And it's like you can, if you see it one day, you're like, maybe it's just a hot day. But you know what? Then you see it every day and you're like, no. Those guys are, you know, West and Collins are good players, good prospects, but they don't have much pass rush and they don't seem like they've gotten a whole lot better. And Eason and James Thompson are just coming on. Halton is really quick and Osa is a monster inside. I don't know. I could just, you know, Raheem inherited those guys, but I like Bryson Eason. Wagner doesn't even have Bryson Eason on the team. He's got him cut.
I can't believe
they would cut that guy.
He's the most consistent defensive tackle not named Osa on this roster, and it's not close. We go through every single all 22 and end zone tape of everything. I counted one negative play, one play that was not a positive for Bryson Eason. Like, James Thompson Jr. is the pass rush prowess. His ceiling is higher than, you know, Bryson Eason is. But consistency, what you always hear Raheem Morris, you always hear Kyle Shanahan talk about, Bryson Eason is as consistent as it gets. Like, he has been, he's not the playmaker, but he's helping those linebackers, helping the edge. He's helping everybody out consistently. Like, I cannot see a way in which James Thompson Jr. and Bryson Eason do not make this roster. I cannot see. I don't understand that. But the numbers are tough, because can you keep six? I would keep four DNs, and I'd keep six defensive tackles. That's what I would do, personally.
Four DNs, six defensive tackles. You know, 5-5 would be ideal, but I hear what you're saying. Let's move to linebacker. You know, this is another one of these things. I mean, I'm a big Wagner fan. I think Nick's really good. But I think there's a lot of 49er media people that they read the notes more than they watch the players, or they know who should be on the team, and they put them on the team over guys that deserve to be on the team. Like, they like on paper, Luke Gifford as a Pro Bowl special teamer should be on the team. On paper, Garrett Wallow, who had 11 tackles in the playoff game last year, should be on the team. But when you're watching practice every day, Gifford hasn't played all summer. I saw him running on the sidelines yesterday. He's got a hamstring. He said to Dustin Perry, "It's grabbing on me." I saw him whisper that to Perry. "Hey, it's grabbing on me." So it's not like he's ready. Gifford's not ready to play. And Wallow's dinged. Now you got Nick Martin with the hamstring. He's dinged. I don't know how serious that is. But Wagner's got seven linebackers, which is one more than I thought most people would have. Some years they go with five, and he's got them with seven. Warner, Greenlaw, Duggar, Bethune, Luke Gifford, Nick Martin, Garrett Wallow. I think he's got this linebacking crew totally messed up, completely messed up. My linebacking crew would be Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Jaden Duggar, Tatum Bethune, Deion Jones, and Larry Worth III. Because I think Martin is hurt and probably going to have to go on a list. And I would cut the special teams linebackers, because Larry Worth III is dominating. Now, I don't know that anybody, I don't know why nobody else can see that. This guy is absolutely locking up the tight end. Look at the tight ends that reside in this division. You got McBride in Arizona. He's as good as there is. You look at, you know, the other teams that are potentially going to be in the Super Bowl race. Chiefs have Kelce. Lions have Laporta. Bears have Colston Loveland. You know, the Seahawks have Barner and Arroyo. And Arroyo scored a touchdown the other night. He looks really good. The Rams have a room of like five different tight ends. They're all damn good. You got to be able to cover the tight end. They have a guy in Larry Worth III who is locking up tight ends in a way that is so unbelievable, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's mentioning it. And he's not, and it's like he's just up. No, he's cut. Really? You're going to go with Garrett Wallow? There's a million Garrett Wallows on the street over. I just cannot go special teams. You play from scrimmage. Special teams is great, but it's the third of the three elements of the game. And I'm not taking two special teams linebackers when I've got older Warner, older Greenlaw, and Nick. I mean, Nick's got older Warner, older Greenlaw, and then he's got Gifford and Wallow and Martin, and they're all injured. And then he's got Tatum Bethune and Jaden Duggar. I think Deion Jones is absolutely going to make this team.
Really?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. He's going to make this team. He's here, man. He's here. This is a guy that Raheem handpicked, and he looked good in practice. And this guy's a great athlete. He's not 38 years old. He's 31. This guy's a former Pro Bowler. He's had five seasons in the NFL with 100-plus tackles. He played every single game last year. I don't know, man. I think Deion Jones is going to make the team. So I'd have Warner, Greenlaw, Duggar, Bethune, Deion Jones, and I'm going. I'm putting Nick Martin on an injured list. I'm putting Gifford on the injured list. I'll cut Jalen Graham and Wallow, but I'm going with Larry Wirth, man. Larry Wirth is special. And I can see it. I know they can see it. The question is the league see it? Can you slide him through waivers and get him to the practice squad? I don't think so. Now, maybe they can because he hasn't played a whole lot. But, dude, this guy is really, really intriguing. Really intriguing.
That's the thing.
In a lot of ways, he's like a Nicky Manwari. How's this guy different than Nicky Manwari? This guy has the same jumping testing numbers as Sonny freaking Styles. He went in the top 10. This guy went undrafted. And he is making plays, and he is smothering the tight end. And in a division that is this many tight ends that can play, I want a super long, athletic linebacker who can smother the tight end. No way I'm cutting him. No way. No way.
I think Larry Wirth looks the part, and the traits are what it kind of confounds me, because not only was Larry Wirth III not drafted, he wasn't even a priority free agent. Nobody offered him a deal. So he comes to the 49ers on a rookie tryout, passes the eye test immediately. They sign him to the 91, stays on there and keeps getting elevated. Now, he hasn't played much. He played 13 plays the first preseason game, played 18 the second. They said they want to give him an extra look. So will he play more in the third preseason game? Hopefully. But the question or the answer for why he would be cut, if we just play that, like, okay, why would he be cut? Because nobody wanted him and passed over him in the draft and priority free agent. Maybe nobody wants him. But then you look at like what players get claimed, traits-based players. His traits are bananas. Him and Ephesians Prysock standing next to each other, they're like freaking transformers. Like the length, the size, the muscle development, the speed, the coverage, those are things that today's NFL you need. Now, The other side of this argument is I don't see a way where Gifford and Wallow both get cut or put on lists. I think that Brant Boyer definitely wants one of those guys. We know he loves both of them. What Garrett Wallow did in the playoffs cannot be forgotten. You do not win that game in Philly without Garrett Wallow, and he is a stud special teamer that can play not one, not two, but all three linebacker spots. So I don't know. I think it's easier to get Larry Wirth by on waivers, but I don't like that either. And the injuries make it hard because Nick Martin, you got to have guys that can play now. You have to.
What's your feeling on Nick? I mean, we didn't really get any.
I think he's IR designated to return. You see him grabbing the back of that hamstring. So like it looks like somebody shot him in the back of the leg and they grab it and can bear it like he had to, because it happened on the opponent's sideline late in the fourth. He had to waddle all the way back to his sideline, and it did not look good. So it's not grabbing, as you know, you referred to it earlier. I used to coach track, and so like you'd always ask the guys, like, explain what happened. And when they grab it like that and that pop, I didn't hear it, but that's usually what that is, where they start grabbing it and they can't extend it. That is not a mild hamstring. I am nowhere near a doctor, Larry, as we all know, but my track and football background coaching, when you see that, man, that's a month minimum. And if that's the case, IR designated to return. I will say Nick Martin's tape continues to climb. The explosive, the ceiling is there.
You can't cut him. You can't
do that. You either IR for the whole year or IR designated to return. Maybe somebody else gets that tag, but Martin's going to be around. And so I trust Garrett Wallow more now than I do Larry Wirth. I trust Garrett Wallow more special teams than I do Larry Wirth. Long term, it is not a debate. Larry Wirth III has something that is special. Can that be uncorked? I sure as hell hope so. And if he does make the roster, here's my last point on Larry Wirth. If he does make the roster, think of the message that sends to the whole damn team, the meritocracy. This dude is a walk-on rookie tryout player that is making it over Pro Bowl special teamers. That's how much we love this kid. Oh, man, I would be psyched. And I wouldn't be in here. Okay, I said last point. If Larry Wirth makes the roster, the initial 53, I wouldn't be shocked
if they love him so much that he makes the 53 and then they waive him to claim somebody else at guard or whatever else elsewhere and then try to pass him through waivers that way, make it even harder for a team to claim him. I really want Larry Worth around, man. I really, really do.
Don't read, you know, I used to have a scouting mentor who said, Krug, when we send you to a stadium to look at players, do not fall in love with the program. Know who the players are, know where they're going to be, know where you can watch them, but don't fall in love with these guys based on what it says in the program. In other words, let your eyes tell your brain what you see. Don't have your brain have all these preconceived notions. And then are you really seeing it, or are you just seeing what you think you should be seeing? You know what I mean? It's like truly be independent. And I took that approach with Worth and with the Niners, basically. And I think we did this. I don't know if it was you and I, but I definitely did a bold predictions segment.
It was with me. I remember it.
And I had two bold predictions. My two bold predictions is that James Thompson Jr. at some point would run with the ones. He ran with the ones this week. He shared time with Alfred Collins. And the second bold prediction is that Larry Worth is a really special football player. And I just see really special. I see a guy who's doesn't have a lot of linebacker experience, but like next year, that guy's going to be 230 pounds, still super fast and long, but he's now going to know the defense. And I think he's going to be a force. I would not cut this guy. To me, you cut this guy and you're going to see him. Monty Austin-Fort's going to pick him up, put him on their active roster. The Cardinals hawk the Niners cuts like nobody's business. Anybody who can play on the Niners always winds up getting snagged by the Cardinals. I wouldn't give this kid is that special. And I've talked to him. He's smart. He's serious. He's, you know, can translate speed, the power. He's really good. He's really good. I'm convinced. I'd be shocked if this kid does not turn out to be a really good. What he is a specialty 2026 chess piece that the Raheem Morrises of the world know how to utilize. And I think this guy can be a very special player for the 49ers. So I would not let him go. All right, let's do this. Let's make sure that we do our prize picks lineup. Ooh. We'll put Johnny and I in the corner for a second, and we will call this up. We're going to work on sacks today. We're going to go with sacks. And that's S-A-C-K-S, Jed. Thank you.
Okay. Over under 140.
There we go. All right. So we've got that. Now we've got to move our beautiful media stuff around here so we can make sure it looks all right. Oh, where is it? Where is it? There it is. Okay. So we have the right. There we go. Now we got it cooking. All right. And we should tell everybody that the Krug Show is presented by Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. Prize Picks, super simple. You just pick more or less on player stats, game outcomes, and build your lineup. It's available in most states, including California. Prize Picks is a brand new offer. Sign up with code HMA. Play your $5 lineup and get $150 in bonus lineups. If it's a winner, that's code HMA. Play $5, get $150 in bonus lineups. All right, we are going to go with sacks, over-under on sacks. You got Max Crosby, you got Miles Garrett, you got David Bailey, you got Aiden Hutchinson, Nick Bonito, Reuben Bain. Anybody you want to go with here? I like the Reuben Bain one a lot. I think Reuben Bain's going to have like 8-9 sacks for sure, and all he needs is 6.5 to go over.
Yeah, that's
more.
A good number. He had an AC joint sprain yesterday, but they think he's going to be ready week one easily. Nick Bonito, 11.7 more or less.
Okay.
Why is that so low?
Yeah, that's a low number. I like more on Bonito. I like the Jets, believe it or not. I think the Jets are kind of, I don't know if you saw this today, but or the other day, Bill Barnwell. I'm a big Bill Barnwell fan from ESPN.
As
I just think he's a really sharp guy. And he had five teams in the NFL that he thinks are going to improve and five teams in the NFL he thinks are going to decline. His five improved teams are Baltimore, Kansas City, the Giants, the Jets, and Detroit. And the five teams that he thinks are going to decline are the Bears, the Panthers, the Broncos, the Jaguars, and the Patriots. And I kind of agree with him on the Jets. I really kind of like what I've seen from the Jets personnel. Looking at their depth chart, I caught them in the preseason once. They get guys flying around. I kind of like I kind of like the Jets. I kind of like the Lions. I think people are kind of sleeping on the Lions. So those are the ones that kind of stand out to me. But one guy that I think for the Jets that's going to have a big year is Will McDonald. And all he needs is 7.5 sacks. So I like Will McDonald going over that total.
We went more on all three. I like it. But the numbers are low. That's the thing.
I don't know if you see any down here that you like on the DBs and linebackers.
I don't like the off-ball linebacker.
What about Josh Sweat? Can Josh Sweat get 9 sacks?
That's kind of like it's kind of high for him. I think he can, but like his ceiling is like 10, 11 sacks. Whereas some of these guys that can lead the NFL in sacks, like Leautu, that's low 7. Like I'm paying attention to where the numbers are, and I that's like Verse. What I like to see.
I like Verse. 7.5 sacks goes over for Verse. I think he's going to try to justify the fact that, you know, hey, man, yeah, you traded for a great player. I'm pretty damn freaking great.
Yeah, low number there.
That's a low number. Any of these others?
I'm not seeing a lot of them where I'm just like, ooh.
I'll tell you this. I like less right here on Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Chris Jones.
He could miss time, too.
He's going to miss time. And also, he's not getting 8.5 sacks. He's not. So that let's go with this. Let's see. We got enough here. We won't put 20 on it. We'll put 5 on it. There we go. And we'll submit our lineup. Bingo bango takes just a second. And then we will view that lineup. And this is what we got. We got a 5-pick power play. $5 pays us 50. Ruben Bain's got to have at least 6.5 sacks. Benito's got to have 12. Will McDonald's got to have 7.5 sacks. Verse has got to have 7.5 sacks. And Chris Jones has got to have 8 sacks or less. If all these things happen, we go 5 for 5. Our $5 becomes 50, courtesy of Prize Picks. So thank you to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. We'll move John and I back into the mix there. And we'll
we're back, baby. Back. We're back.
We're back. We're back. It was a rough go there for a while, but we're back. A couple other mentions before we finish with a strong couple topics here before we get out of here. West Coast Diesels has got their 10th annual event. We're promoting it for them. It's Saturday, September 12th. The gates open at 10 a.m. It's 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. It's at the Chris Beck Arena in the Sonoma County Fairgrounds up in Santa Rosa. If you're listening going, what is this? It's the biggest diesel truck celebration in Sonoma County. So they'll have tractor pulls and show and shines. It's the 10th annual event. Really family-friendly atmosphere. $30 general admission tickets if you want to enter a vehicle into the show and shine. Kids 5 and under are free. Tickets are available now at their West Coast Diesel locations. Two of them. They've got one on Airway Drive, one on Sebastopol Road. Or you can purchase tickets at the gate on event day, which is September 12th. If you want more information, 707-595-3026. WestCoastDiesels.com on the web. /pages/events. That's WestCoastDiesels.com/pages/events for all the information. Thank you to West Coast Diesels. Also, thank you to our good friends at Sharp Corners, Sports Cards and Collectibles, the great Anthony Catania. Talking to him today. He's at 831-521-5264. A great sports cards and collectibles place. It's in 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, which is down there in Monterey. And October 2nd, they'll have their next Friday night trade night where they kind of, it's like a sidewalk deal and the kids come out and there's food and a lot of people are walking around from 6 to 9 p.m. The last one was August 7th. It was a huge success. By the way, free shipping to all Krug Show fans. Just tell Anthony you're a Krug Show fan and he will pay your shipping no matter where you're sending it, anywhere in the continental U.S. So thank you to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. And also thank you to Novato Chevrolet, NovatoChevrolet.com on the web. We love Novato Chevrolet. I'm driving a Traverse right now, and I'm loving it. The Traverse is fantastic. Have you ever seen a Traverse, Johnny?
Yeah. Really clean car, man. I wouldn't look as good in nice it as car. You do, I'm sure. Just stay away from trailer parks.
There you go. Go see Adam Rogers or Miguel Lopez. Visit the website, NovatoChevrolet.com. Tell them that Krug sent you. We'll leave that up there. But thank you to Novato Chevrolet. All right. Let's hit a couple more topics before we get out of here. It is August 26th. Why do I bring you the date? Because the Niners play the Rams on September 10th. The Niners will be leaving for Australia Wednesday, like next Wednesday. God. So this thing's on. And there's been so much talk about Aaron Donald's coming back. Aaron Donald's coming back. Aaron Donald's coming back. But he's not coming back. He's not back. He's tried out a couple times. Some people say the delay is because they owe him $32 million in the last year of the deal, and they're trying to negotiate some new deal. But, John, you and I have been watching football for decades. We can count on one hand how many guys sat out two-plus years in the NFL and came back. I just really think if the guy was really serious about coming back, wouldn't he have come back? Wouldn't he have been in camp with the Rams? So you're telling me you're going to take 2 years off of football and come back. You're not just going to do that. You're going to take 2 years off of football and then skip training camp. And you're just going to walk out there and in Melbourne on the 10th and just be on Aaron Donald. And here we go. I don't buy that for a second, man. I think he's not coming back. I think everybody just thought it was a foregone conclusion. I'm kind of wondering, wouldn't he be practicing right now? Wouldn't he be back? Wouldn't they have gotten this done? It's August 26th. We're 2 weeks away from the game. This guy hasn't played football in 2 years. You're telling me he doesn't need anything? He can just, I'm Aaron Donald shopping at, you know, Best Buy in Southern California, and all of a sudden I'm playing the Niners. I mean, he was a bad man when he played, but 2 years is a long time, man. I can't think of Joe Montana was out for 2 years. He's a quarterback. There aren't too many guys. It's a really, really short list. How many guys have been out for two full years and came back? Are you convinced?
Ricky Williams?
Was he out for 2 years? I don't even know if that's true. But are you convinced that Aaron Donald is going to be in Melbourne against the Niners on the 10th?
No, I don't think so. For like you mentioned, but he put out there that if he can't come back and play at the exact same level, then he don't want to come back. Like, you are a first ballot Hall of Famer in the conversation for best ever do it at the interior defensive line. When you look at the accolades and awards, he's achieved all of his goals. So, like, that's the thing. Now, a lot of players that are like this, they'll wait till a playoff run and come back. You can see, like, Gronk and whatever else, but I'm just not seeing if it hasn't happened yet, and I hope it doesn't happen. I don't want him to come back, as I know most Niner fans don't.
He's incredible. He was
contribute, but yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I hope it doesn't.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. And the more we get closer to this, it's like it was like assumed that he's back, and people have talked about it, but now we're actually inside of the window where he would be practicing, and he's not practicing. And you're telling me he doesn't need the practice? It's perplexing. Yeah, that is perplexing. Okay. That's one thing that I thought was kind of interesting. Give me the one guy, if you could sit in Vegas in the stadium tomorrow night and watch on the binoculars, one guy you want to keep your eye on tomorrow night. Who is that guy?
James Thompson Jr. Like, I'm convinced this guy is going to be, yeah, and I know he's your guy. I'm not trying to, you know, step in on the Larry Kruger
my guy. Fan
club, but like, dude, you pinpointed him from early on. And if you look at the lack of pass rush, which I think a lot of the 49ers fans have a right to be like, man, this is a major, major issue. This is one of the guys that is the solution. Obviously, Osa, but he's not going to be playing tomorrow. So, you know, I'm watching guys like James Thompson Jr., Larry Work. Can Jaden Duggar continue to grow into that kind of role? There's just a lot of guys, the left guard battle for sure. But yeah, James Thompson Jr., JTJ, he offers something that this 49ers roster just doesn't have a lot of. And the upside is just huge. And I just want him to kind of cement that role of like, all right, this guy is staying here. No doubt. Let's finish it. He's in. He's a lock. That's what I want it to be. There's just so much competition, so much youth at that position that I think, you know, Bryson Eason has an argument. Sebastian Valdez has an argument. The guys that were ahead of him in the depth chart, they have an argument as well. But I want him to solidify this, put the nail in the coffin, guaranteed 53-man James Thompson Jr., write it in Sharpie. He's going to be around for a while.
It's good. Good name. I'm going to give you two names. They were both picked up this week. Khalil Dinkins. I want to see what Khalil Dinkins has as a receiver, as a blocker. I want to see what he's got. Real eager to see. And then, you know what? I loved Fehoko in the draft. Now, he doesn't have bend or burst or twitch, but we're talking about a guy, and you know me, I like great college football players. I don't care if they don't, they're not the right height, they're not the right this, they're not the right that, because it's hard to find great players who can play the game. I'll take great players that don't have the measurables, don't have this or that. That's this guy. This guy was the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year, which means he was the best defensive player in the conference. And he has got moves, he's got size, and he's got passion. He's got really strong hands. And I saw him look good in the one-on-ones. He doesn't have a lot of dip and bend and burst and special athletic traits. But, man, the Niners have an incredible need for anybody who can dial up some heat off the edge. And I think Okoronkwo can help them, but they need to find or invent or trade for somebody else. So I've got hope that Fehoko could just have, you know, he's now went to San Jose State. He's playing for the Niners. You know, he's cousins with Vita Vea. He went to St. Francis in Mountain View. This, come on, the kid went to St. Francis. He literally grew up in the Niners' backyard. I got to think that he's going to be emotional and passionate about putting on that 49er uniform for the first time. What if it all clicks? And this guy who's 6'3", 6'4", 270 pounds, what if this guy, just on his, you know, bag full of tricks and crazy ass motor, just all of a sudden is a productive player? And I'm hoping, because they got to find somebody. They literally have to invent somebody or find somebody. That's the bad news. The good news is this happens all the time in the NFL. Guys come out of nowhere and find a perfect scheme fit, a perfect venue, and they take off. So I'm looking for Vilami Fehoko on defense, Khalil Dinkins on offense. I wouldn't also mind seeing Jordan James having a great night. I think that would be fantastic as well. All right, let's finish with this.
I don't think he's going to play. I don't even think they're going to suit up Jordan. I don't. But I do have to say, A-plus on the name freaking pronunciation. As a Texan, I can't do that at all. So, like, hearing you freaking master that, that was freaking
Vilami Fehoko?
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, man.
I'm here all day.
The old teacher in me going through roll calls on the first week, sweating bullets. A-A-Ron.
I love me some Key and Peele. Blake
D-Nice.
D-Nice. It's Denise. Oh, right.
My favorite, real quick, I have to do this. Best. My favorite student, not my favorite student, but my favorite name ever was Absida. Her first name was ABCDE. And it was pronounced Absida. Like, so freaking awesome. Awesome person, too. So, like, shout out to her.
Oh, my God.
I don't think she's watching, but if she is, what's up, Absida?
My favorite Key and Peele is when they're doing the intros with and it's Jackson Flaxen Waxen Jackson or whatever. It's like awesome. Just awesome. I just start cracking up. It's the funniest thing. All right, last one. We'll finish with the salacious story. The Jed story.
Oh, Jed.
Do you have today, you know, the latest is that Roger Goodell said the NFL is looking into whether Jed will be punished for violating the league's personal conduct policy after he was caught in a prostitution sting in Ohio. Goodell said Wednesday at the owners' meetings in Atlanta, and Jed did not go. Instead, Al Guido went in his place. He said it's being reviewed under the personal conduct policy. We'll do that, and then there's something to be reported. When there's something to be reported, we'll talk. We saw the video today. It's amazing. We didn't get the video of the Shanahan thing, but we got the video of this. Something tells me we're never getting the video of the Shanahan thing. But we got video of this, and it was even worse than I thought. I mean, it's just, he's sadder than I thought. He looked worse than I thought. I mean, it's like, here's a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience being pulled over. They literally said nothing to him, and he's already getting out of the car. And then he's literally, they're putting him in cuffs, and he's like, what's this about? I mean, it's like, I see people are demand supervisors and stall these guys out forever. Jed almost was getting in the back of the car, and like, you know, I mean, it was really weird to see somebody comply that much. But it's also, it's such a dark moment for the Niners, for Jed. It's destroyed his person, his whole public persona. He'll never be seen the same way again. you saw the video too. Do you just have a thought on Jed? You know, I don't want to belabor this too long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, I don't like doing the kind of radio when someone steps in shit and then you just sit there for like an hour going, they stepped in it. It's like, yeah, we all know they stepped in it.
It sucks. Watching the video definitely brought some like, oh, dude, this is rough, man. It's just rough. And it's the divorce and all the stuff. It just sucks. But he made some poor choices and he's kind of going through it now. I don't think there's going to be any football impact or NFL impact. Robert right. Kraft is still Robert Kraft. And, you know, you can get back into that whole ordeal. And shoot, a lot of people keep saying like, oh, bring Eddie D back. Eddie D had some stuff too. It is past for those of sure. you that were around back then. This is kind of the climate that we're in sometimes, and I don't know. So it sucks, and yeah, the jokes are going to be there. And it's funny. I saw somebody post that, you know, there's going to be a bunch of opposing fans at 49ers games wearing the Jed York mugshot. And I was like, opposing fans? There's going to be 49ers fans with that mugshot on their shirt just because this is – the way it goes.
I mean, how many different fantasy teams are going to be called Criminal Jewels?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I had a listener
offer me
listener offer me money to wear a 49ers jersey to a game with 140 as the numbers and York on the back. And he's like, how much will it take? I'll pay it. And I'm just like, I don't know. It's funny, but yeah. It's,
yeah. But we're in agreement. No real impact on the football. I mean, you know, I know nobody wants to hear that out who don't like the Niners are like, oh yeah, right. But I really do believe that. All right, let's hit our supers and we'll bolt for the door. We'll call this a night. We got this one from Clawdaddy Arcades, who's one of our sponsors. Ooh. Clawdaddy Arcades has been a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. He says, we need to rest Krug for the last preseason game. So we have him for all 17. Let's effing go, Niner faithful.
Unbelievable the amount of work you're putting in right now, Larry. I am impressed, my friend.
No days off. No days off. You know what? I'll tell you, it goes back to my mentor, my football mentor, the late, great Bill Urbanek, who was a great personnel guy and a great D-line coach. And he said to me, I love you, boy. I said, I love you too, coach. Thank you so much. And he goes, I love you. He goes, I love you, boy. And you got a great attitude. And I'm like, great. And he's like, but you're fucking lazy. I said, coach, I got here at 7 a.m. It's 7:45 p.m. I'm almost working my 13th hour and I'm lazy. He's like, you don't know what hard work is, boy. And he would just lecture me. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to show you. You want to know how hard it is, you know, how to work hard. I'm going to show you how to work hard. I go, okay. And he goes, I'll pick you up for work. And I go, okay. I go, deal. You pick me up for work. You drive me home. And then I'll just work your hours. And then you can shut the fuck up because I'm tired of you bagging on me. And he's like, all right. So then we agreed. Didn't even talk hours. Just keep watching film. Now he's dropping me off. He's dropping me off at like 1:15 in the morning. 1:15, he's dropping me off. I got guys and girls because I'm still in college at the time. Just finished college. All my buddies are still in college. So, I mean, they got girls over and partying. And the coach pulls up. It's like a Friday night. Drops me off at 1:15, Johnny. There's, like, people on the roof. There's people shooting pool. There's a keg in the garage. He gets out of the car. He's like, man, I'm going to have a beer. He's like, you guys got it going on in here. Damn, Krug. And he drops me off 1:15. Has a beer. Takes off. And he's walking to his car. He's like, walk me out to my car, boy. I'm like, all right. So I walk him out to his car. This guy's like 58 years old. And I go, all right, coach, have a great night. I'm glad that you got a chance to meet my roommates and everything. So, hey, yeah, you're going to pick me up tomorrow. What time are you going to be? What time are you going to be here? He's like, I'll be here at 1:45. And I'm like, all right, sounds good. I start walking away. And I'm like, wait a second. 1:45?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And he goes, I go, 1:45? And he goes, 4:45. I go, coach, it's 1:20 right now. He's like, I'll see you at 4:45. And sure enough, bro, he picked me up at 4:45 and dropped me off at between 1 and 1:30 the rest of the season. I lost my friends. I lost my girlfriend. I lost everything, man. I was just football, football, football. I had nothing. I didn't have friends. I had no girl. I had nothing. I literally was coming as my roommates were. They're going out. I'm coming in. I'm getting up in the morning. They're still playing video games. They're playing Madden in the living room. About ready to crash.
You remember this. It affects like who you are now, and that's awesome. So, way to go, so coach, man.
So, yeah. So, you know what? That's why I work hard. Because in my head, I hear that no longer deceased coach in my head going, I love you, boy, but you're fucking lazy. And I said, coach, I'm not fucking lazy. All right. But thank you, Claude Eddie. We love you, bro. Appreciate him. Rob's a great guy. Drew Brees says move Stout to safety is smart because we have good cornerbacks. Well, that could be an option because Stout is, I think, physical enough. Wesley Fowler says, hey, 10 jewels, Krug. There you go. Thank you, bro.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. We got this one from Kid Trickster. You got to be careful here. Not a fan of any of our D-line guys. Let's ping John Schneider for UDFA Mike Roach.
Gotcha.
Mike Roach. Say it fast.
Yep.
Kid Trickster. Love Kid Trickster. Sin underscore Cynthia. Hi, John and Larry. What's going on with Bosa? Nothing. They're just hiding him out, getting ready for the season. He's running. He looks great. He's literally nothing's wrong with him. I don't buy the tendonitis at all. He looks great. Sprinting on the sideline. He looks great. And Garibay, will they trade left guard, defensive end, safety, maybe a roster cut?
Oh, look at the AVI. Look at the AVI he has. Oh, my gosh, already. There What's we that? Go. It's a little picture next to his profile. It's the Jed York whatever. It's awesome.
That's Ann Garibay. Yes, I think there's a lot of potential for trades. James Castro says, hey, here's 5 jewels. Thank you, James. Appreciate you, bro. Drew Brew. Left guard Nelson equals top offense.
What would you pay? I'm the GM. What would you pay for Quentin Nelson?
I think you have to start with a second round pick just to get their attention in a loaded draft, right? So he's thinking, hey, if they totally slide, it could be the 33rd pick in the draft. So I think I would be a second round pick, and then I think I'd offer Cowing because I think he's got real value, and I think the Colts are short there. I probably would offer maybe a guard, a replacement guard, maybe a Rob Jones or Connor Colby or something like that. And I think I would offer them his choice of CJ West or Alfred Collins. Dang. And that's what I would offer. I know it's a lot, but I want Quentin Nelson. I want that difference maker. And he's a difference maker. Eric Abdul. 140?
Oh, what a legend. What a legend.
He said it was good for me. Joking. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your generosity.
Oh, that is unbelievable. That's a great one. And we got this one from Christopher Byers saying, hey, 5 jewels.
Thank you,
Chris. Appreciate you, man. Johnny, that's going to do it for us. I said we're going to be out of here in 50 minutes, an hour and 11 minutes later. We're still going.
It flew by.
you're the man. Hey, once again, promote anything you want on your way out the door, but Niners final preseason game, I'm going live after. What are you doing after the game tomorrow night?
Yeah, same thing. We'll go live afterwards and all that stuff and start breaking down film and all that stuff. But if you are going to any 49ers away games, come party with us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We got day before parties. We got all-inclusive premium tailgates. Kids are free to everything we will ever do. If you're going to any away games, and we're also doing a home tailgate for the Miami season opener. We're going to throw one just to kind of see how it goes.
I'm coming by that for sure.
That's what I'm talking about, man. So dude, I love it. So yeah, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. This is always a blast, Larry.
Dude, you're the best. Thanks to Johnny. Thanks to the sponsors. The links are in the description for all of the sponsors. I've got another stream that I'm going to run to. I'm going to be on with Paulie Mack on his channel. I love Paulie Mack. We're old friends. I got one more in me before I call it a night. Have a great night. Go Niners. Jed, take care of yourself. Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you won't get exactly what